This is Victory House.
All right, let's continue our discussion that we've started for a while now. And let's pick our text from Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Romans chapter number 1 and verse 17. Romans chapter number 1, verse 17. I will also read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. The Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Say, "I am the just. I live by faith." He didn't say the just will use faith as a way of somebody used something and dumped it. The just will live by faith. I don't use oxygen. I live by that, you know. I don't, you know, say, okay, I'm going to breathe today oxygen and then tomorrow I will decide whether I need it or not. No, I live by that. So the just shall live by faith. Will you say it again? Say, "I'm the just. I live by faith." 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5, verse number 4. Bible says, "Whatsoever." It didn't say whosoever. You know, sometimes the Bible, it generalizes things so much that, I mean, you can't make any excuse. It didn't say who. It said whatsoever. That means sometimes you can even by faith talk to equipment. You can by faith talk to things that are not animate or are not people. Because the Bible says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory, or this is how the overcoming happens. The overcoming happens by the vehicle or by the agency of our faith. The first scripture says, "The just shall live by faith." The second one is saying that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And the overcoming factor of what is born of God is our faith. And that's why the subject of faith is very important. We've been looking at it, and I'll just recap some of the things that we have said. We have said faith is a force. It's a force that superimposes the super on the natural. You know, before we started the service, before we got into the word, we were saying that we don't want to be ordinary. We were saying that we want to exceed the normal. We're saying that we want to exceed the average. Faith is that force that can put super on natural, that can put super on normal. Because sometimes when you see a person of faith, when you read that catalog of faith guys in Hebrews chapter 11, these guys were normal people, but something came on them or something happened to them. They had an experience with faith that made normal to be abnormal and made abnormal to not be normal for them, because the super of God came upon the natural. I know that's the story of somebody listening to me tonight, in the name of Jesus. Faith is also the way that we live in the kingdom. The Bible says God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his own dear son. And this kingdom that you have found yourself now, there is a way to live. Some of the people that are listening to me tonight, you have probably lived in other countries before. Now, when you came to this country, there were some rules that you left in those countries that you dare not practice here. If you try it, you are gone. Because in some of those countries, maybe there are no road markings and people drove everywhere. You know, people just drove any lane. People would be like that. I remember I went back the other day to Nigeria and I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And I was driving. I'm like, "These guys are crazy." I couldn't even understand how I lived and I survived back in the day, because now I'm used to road marks. But there was even E-way, big expressway. There was no road mark. You just figure out which lane is yours and stay in there. You understand? But in this kingdom, just like in that country, there may be some things that are not there. And in this country, you can't claim, because, well, I'm from that other country, so I can live the way I used to live in that kind of country. In this country, they'll say, "No, this is another country. You have to live by the rules here." Can I tell you the truth? The rule in the kingdom of God is faith. That's the rule. Many times, the children of God, especially when people just give their life to Christ, they discover that there were many things that happened and they didn't have to exercise their faith and they didn't have to use their faith. And after a while, it seemed things don't happen as fast as they used to happen back in the day. Because now you should have grown up and God is expecting that you should understand how this kingdom works and you should lay hold on this by faith. You are not supposed to be a prayer project for another person. I think we need to say this more in our days because gradually the Church of Jesus Christ were becoming like a dependent church where we think a man of God should be the one that will stand there for me. The man of God should pray over me. Now, don't get me wrong. There's the place of the gifts in the body of Christ. People that are gifted, apostles, pastors, prophets, evangelists. I believe in their ministry. But you see, there is the role of the child of God. And that role cannot be substituted because now you now know a man of God. No, you as a child of God have a responsibility to live your life by faith, by yourself. Because there are some things that the prayer of the man of God won't get you. That it is your own faith that will get you. There were many people that Jesus healed that it was not Jesus that really healed them. Jesus said to them, your faith has made you whole. It was as if Jesus was saying, I had nothing to do with this. You remember the story of the woman that had the issue of blood? And the Bible said the woman had told herself back when she was at home that when I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And the Bible said she was made whole even before she spoke to Jesus. Because when Jesus now said, somebody has touched me, and people were arguing with Jesus and saying, are you kidding me? Everybody's touching you. Jesus said, no. I know everybody's touching me. But somebody by faith touched me. And that's a lesson for somebody. Many people come to church, but some people come by faith. Many people listen to the word of God, but some people listen by faith. And if you listen or show up or be present in church like every other person, it does not mean anything. Because you can just be present in church and be absent from what is actually happening there. There are many times people have come to church, have attended church, even more than church itself, but really, really, they didn't believe in the God of the church. They were not having faith in God. They were just having faith in the attendance or believing or thinking the attendance will count for something. And sometimes some people, when they enter into a problem, they begin to say something like, and I used to go to church a lot. I used to give. I used to this. I used to that. Then they start counting the things they were doing. But some of those things were not done in faith. They were done in unbelief. So the Bible said, Jesus said, somebody has touched me because somebody touched him with faith. We also said that faith is a living force that draws on the living word to produce living proofs. Faith has proofs. Can I tell you the truth? Christianity is not fake. We are not serving a dead God. We are not serving a God that had reigned before. We are not serving a God that has been effective in time past, God that has been useful in time past, God has been helpful in time past. Our God is still as active and can still work like he was working back in the Bible days today. Amen? So you need to understand that faith is that living force that makes the living word bear proofs. And so if you are not seeing proofs in your life, you may need to check what you know about faith. You may need to check how you relate to faith. All right? So we talked about that. Now, let me go to something else that we have not talked about instead of rehashing all the things that we have talked about. And I want to just say some of the reasons why I believe faith is important. Why is faith important? Number one, because of the example of God the Father. Why are you talking about faith, Pastor Yi? Why have you spent some time to talk about faith? Can't you move on to something else? Can't you talk about something else? Yes, I can. And yes, we will. But we need to talk about faith because of the example of God. Now, when you met God or when you see God, when you open the Bible for the first time, you get to Genesis and you meet with God the Father. You see in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, God said this, God said that, and you started seeing God seeing what God said. Now, on a casual reading of Genesis, you just have thought that God said and God saw. But that was not just all that was happening. Because we later now found out in Hebrews chapter 11, that God was not just saying and just seeing, God by faith was saying. It was faith that God used to create the heavens and the earth. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read verse 3. So why is faith important? Because of the example of God the Father. The Bible says, through faith, we understand that the worlds or the planets or creation happened, were framed by the word of God. It is by faith. By faith, the words that God spoke were not just empty words. They were faith-filled words. They were words that carried power, that brought the living, that brought the proof of the reality of what God was saying. So God the Father created the world by faith. So why is faith important? That is how everything started. That is how everything started. So when you get to a country and you are beginning your life, when you get to a marriage and you are starting a marriage, when you are starting in school, when you come to a crossroad, you can go back like God went into a chaotic situation. And the Bible said the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God by faith said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be light. And there was light. So the example of God the Father shows us that faith is very important. Number two, because of the example of Jesus. Because of the example of Jesus. I mean, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is what we started with this year. Amen. I've not checked up on people lately. I think I'll have your time on Sunday. You know, you will see Jesus many, 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 many times. Say, your faith has made you. Your faith has made you. Be it unto you according to your faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. In fact, in Mark 11, we see a story in Mark 11 where Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and the fig tree dried up. Now, when his disciples saw that the fig tree had dried up, they were surprised. They were like, what's going on here? And Jesus told them, you can do the same thing. You can do the same. The only difference between you and me is faith. Mark 11:23. It says, if you have faith, he said, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt or shall have faith, he will have what he says. So the example of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, Jesus did ministry. Because sometimes when they hear Jesus, they think of, oh, Jesus, the Son of the living God. He was God and man and all of that. That's true. But everything that Jesus did on earth, he didn't do it as God. He was a man. Because Jesus was hungry. God never gets hungry. Jesus was thirsty. God is never thirsty. Jesus was tired. I mean, how do you explain him sleeping in this storm? you know, he was tired. You know, that's why it's good. That's why when you are in God, you can have some of those kind of sleep where noise will not disturb you. Amen. Some people have wondered, I can sleep in church when they are doing service. If I'm tired, I will sleep my 3-4 hours that I need to sleep and I'll be fine. You know, many times I sleep downstairs and there's a lot of noise, kids moving, I'm fine. Because Jesus too was tired, amen. And he slept. So Jesus, when he was in the flesh, was a man. He was 100% man, 100% God. So everything he did by the principles that he laid out for us. That if we follow in those principles, we can do the same thing. And the Bible said to us that he spoke to a fig tree and the fig dried up. That means we can speak to situations. We can speak to policies. We can speak to professors. We can speak to things that you can't touch. Things that are inanimate. Things that are not tangible. You can speak to them by faith and they will listen to you. Can I get an amen to that? So the Bible says, makes us understand that the example of Jesus is an example of faith. So faith is important because Jesus was a man of faith. Why is faith important? Because of the example of the Holy Spirit. Now I mentioned Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit separately. I could have said it because of the example of God. But I wanted you to see that the Godhead is unified in expressing faith. The Godhead is unified. Because if you understand scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, you will notice that the way the scripture was patterned or was divided into eras, so to say. There was an era where we only saw God the Father. You know, when we saw the creation, it was God the Father. There was another era when Jesus was physically here, when it was God the Son. There was another era after Jesus left. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible said the Holy Ghost came like a mighty rushing wind. And in fact, the Acts of Apostle, in some translation, you will see it as Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because it was not about the apostles, it was the Holy Spirit that was acting all of the... So you saw that there was an era where God the Father was in charge. There was another era where God the Son was in charge. And there was another era where the God, the Holy Spirit, was visibly in charge. Now, also, God, the example of the Holy Spirit is also an example of faith. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Or your communion with the Holy Ghost is a faith generator. Your community, because the builder there talks about laying up structures. It's like you are building edifice. You are making something magnificent, or you are making something big out of it. So the word of God is saying, if you want to build up faith, if you want faith to be active, pray in the Holy Ghost, meaning that the Holy Spirit is a faith dispenser. The Holy Spirit is a faith invoker, if there's an English word like that. So the example of the Holy Spirit is also another reason why we should talk about faith and why faith is important. Why is faith important? Because faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. If there's anything that God loves, if there's anything that God likes, if there's anything that excites God, it's somebody that believes him. It's somebody that has faith in him. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that's how we started this whole discussion on faith, that anybody that must come to God, the primary thing that God wants for that person is to believe that God is. You can't get the best of God by telling God, God, show me that you are there, and then I'll believe you. No, he wants you to say, I believe in you, and then I will now show you. Not the other way around. Because I've met some people say, you prove God to me. No. You believe God, and he will prove himself to you. God wants to be believed. God wants you to have faith in him. And the Bible says, faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. In Hebrews chapter 11, there were several people that were asked, that were mentioned there. One of those people that were mentioned is Enoch. The Bible said Enoch walked with God. He was noble because he believed God, because he had faith in God. God was pleased with him. Faith makes God to be pleased with you. Faith makes that whatever you are doing, God is pleased with you. And can I tell you the truth? One of the cheapest ways to live your life is to live your life in a way that is pleasing to God. Is to make God to be pleased with you. Because if a man's way pleases God, even his enemies will be at peace with him. Even the things that should be against him will be for him. Even the things that is stacked up against him will work for him. Because that man pleases God. And finally, why is faith important? Faith moves God. Faith moves God. Can I tell you the truth? Many things that we don't move God. Emotions does not move God. I mean, God has been there and done that, don't you think? He knows every permutation, combination, and everything. So when people come before God and start doing some emotions, emotions really, now it's not that God is not touched by the infirmities that we have. God feels us. God can feel us, because the Bible makes us understand that we have a high priest in Jesus who can feel us. He's not far from us. He's like us. He himself had been all point tempted like we are, yet without sin. But that being said, if you come before him and just cry, because some people, they do that. They just cry and say, God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And then they cry. And then they cry. And then they lament. Like Job or Job's wife. Then they lament. And they lament. and they complain. Why is this happening to me? And, well, and they say all kinds of things. God, you know I have been for you. I have this, I have that. Now, that's not how to move God. That's not how to get God moving. That's not how to make things to happen for you. Because if you read that catalog of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible said there were guys that stopped the mouth of lions, not by crying. There were guys that were thrown into the fire and they survived the fire, not by saying, oh me, oh me, oh me, oh me, oh me, oh me. You know, if you, some of them are from Africa, they will put their hands on their head and they say they are dead before they are dead. So it is not the emotions. It is not the complaining. It is not even how much you shout. Can I tell you the truth? Sometimes when we shout and pray and pray and laugh and sweat, sometimes you can pray and sweat and you are praying nonsense. Can I say that again? There are many times people are sweating and active and very, very passionate and, you know, all of the above, but they are just wasting their time because it's faith that moves God. It's not emotions. So faith moves God. All right? So if faith moves God, now what is faith? Or let me just talk about some types of faith, then I'll end with what faith is not. To understand what faith is, you need to understand that there are different kinds of faith. There are different kinds of things that when you read in scriptures, when the Bible calls it faith, you need to understand where God wants you to put your attitude, your mind, and the kind of faith I'm talking about in this discussion. There's the first faith called the natural faith. Natural faith. The reason why many of you are seated on the chair that you are sitting on now is because you have natural faith. When you go into a bank and you give them money, most people go home and they sleep. Most people, normal people. I hope you are one of them. You're not thinking, I hope that guy, the way I'm seeing him. It's as if as I gave the money like this, the record is not anywhere. It's going into his pocket, you know, because... Some people, when they go to ATM, put money there, or ATM gives them money, they count it one by one. You know where they came from. But natural faith is normal to us. There are some things that we assume that is possible. There are some things that we don't really think too much about. When you enter an aircraft, when you buy a ticket, I think it was Pastor Andrew that I was saying, usually when you buy a ticket online, and it says Delta Airline, Chicago to Washington, D.C., then they send you a confirmation. You believe it. You believe that you have bought a ticket. You don't believe that when you get to the airport, then you show up. They say, oh, what are you talking about? You Chicago to where? There's no D.C. anywhere. We are not going to D.C. today. No, you believe that what you have done has something. Now, that's an element of faith, but that's a natural faith. It's a faith, a belief in something. And that's why when people tell you that I don't believe there's God, or I can't believe there's God, it's not true. Because humanly speaking, without even too much spirituality and talking about God, it is possible for men to believe. It is a choice. It is possible. And there are many things that person believes. All the things that they've been telling them in school, he believes them. And some of them, they are coming back to tell us that they have lied. I don't know if you've been reading some of those things now. They will say, well, we told you that you needed to drink it, 8 gallons of water per day. Have you guys read that report that they said maybe not, that you don't need 8 cups of water per day? Is it cups or a gallon? 1 gallon. When you drink 8 gallons, I wonder if you'll be able to move. Okay, whatever 8th thing they asked us to be drinking. I read a report. Was it a report or TED talk? Somebody was talking about it and saying, I don't think so. That is not really so. So many things that these people have been saying, a lot of things that they've been saying, some people just come and say, no. But we believed it. Some of the times, some people will almost kill themselves, like this climate change things. Some people are almost breaking their neck over. Anybody that says that, oh, well, maybe this climate thing, let's talk about it a little more. They say, no. Why are you denying science? How do you know? They told you. And some of these people, it's economic reasons. That's the truth. Some of these climate change things, can I tell you the truth? It's not completely honest. Some of it is an economic decision. Climate change, they've been talking about it since forever. that this earth, we are going to kill everything and all of that. And if they have read the back of the book, it is not human activity, climate change, something that will end this world. You know that, right? God himself will finish up this job. Amen. He's going to end the world. Now, I know that there's climate change going on and all of that. I'm not denying science because I know somebody may send me an email and say, Pastor, you don't believe in science. I went to school and I studied science. I believe in science. I'm just saying that sometimes some people overtake this thing and, you know, they stretch it too much. But somehow we believe some of these things. Why? Because there is natural faith. There's another type of faith called the saving faith. Saving faith. This is the faith that you had or you used when you gave your life to Christ, when they preached to you about Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. You receive the grace that Jesus Christ brought. Because the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 14, this word became flesh and dwelt among us. And verse 15, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, who was full of grace and of truth. Right? Now, so is this grace that Jesus brought that we received? But we received this grace by faith. By faith. There was no physical transaction. We just received it by faith. That is a saving faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. By grace are you saved. Now, there's another faith in Scripture that you will read. And sometimes when people read all this kind of faith, they lump everything together and they sometimes get confused and they don't know which one they are supposed to be operating at a point in time. There's another faith that Scripture talks about in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, which he calls the fruit of the Spirit. If you read the list of the fruit of the Spirit, you will see that the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Then it goes on to say joy. Then it says the fruit of the Spirit is peace, is long-suffering, is gentleness, is goodness. Then it says it's faith. So you'll be thinking, well, okay, the fruit of the Spirit is faith. But if you read some other translation wouldn't call that word faith. They will call it faithfulness. Because faith, there are several words that the English Bible translates faith from the original version, from the Greek or from the Hebrew for the Old Testament, that is not actually the same faith that you and I know. So in this instance, it's faithfulness. It's that constancy. Of course, there's an element of faith that requires faithfulness, but faith, fruit of the Spirit, there's also an element of the fruit of the Spirit called faith. Now, there's also another type of faith called the gift of faith. So you have the fruits of the Spirit. Then you also have the gifts of the Spirit. Now, under the gifts of the Spirit also, there is faith. And some people, because they hear gift, they now think that faith is a gift. And a gift, by definition, is a gift. You don't work for it. You can't exercise a gift. A gift is just given to you. You can't do anything about a gift. But really, that's not all about faith. There is a gift of the Spirit called faith, which God can supernaturally impact on you. When we talk about this gift of the Spirit, they are by the Spirit. In fact, let's read the Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 8. 1 Corinthians 12. From verse 8. The Bible says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Move on, please. Stop at 10. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, when some people come across Scripture like this, they just assume all faith is gift. So, God, give me faith. But that would be an error to say, God, give me faith. Because, you know, we've said it before, but we'll still say it down the line. Now, faith cometh. There's a venue for faith. There's an avenue for faith. And that avenue is not to say, God, give me faith. Or God, give me the gift. because you have read it here now, that is a gift. So you go to God and say, give me the gift. No. Because the gift of the Spirit is different from this faith that I'm talking about. So there's a natural faith, there's a saving faith, there's a fruit of the Spirit faith, there's a gift of the Spirit faith. Now there is another faith that the Bible talked about in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, reading from verse 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 6. Reading from verse 1 to 3. The Bible says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So this faith is part of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. It's a doctrine that Christ wants us to know about. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. So, among the doctrine of Christ is repentance from dead works. Let me spend 1 minute on that. We need to talk about that again in the Church of Jesus Christ. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you should repent from dead works. Can I get amen to that? That means that if you were somebody that used to fight people before, if you were easily angered before, when you have given your life to Christ, one of the elementary principles of Christ, one of the elementary doctrine of Christ is to repent from dead works. Repentance means change. That's what it means. I have told you the story before that when I started, you know, seeing my wife, we were not married then, and they had told me that... Or I don't know where I even read it. Maybe one book that my grandfather gave my uncle and my uncle gave me on becoming a man. Maybe it's that book that I read it. I don't know. But I just knew that to be happy with a woman, know how to say thank you. Know how to say I'm sorry. You know, just be that. It's hard for men to say that. So before I even met her, I'd made up my mind. I'm sorry. Thank you, please. You put that too, right? So even if before she says anything, I'm ready to give her the three lines. I'm sorry, thank you, sorry, and please. Even if it's not applicable, maybe. But so one time something happened, and before she explained too much, I said I'm sorry, and she said no, you are not sorry, because if you are sorry, you have said you are sorry about this kind of thing before. And you are doing it again. If you are really sorry, you won't do it again. That is the mark of true sorry. So if we have really given ourselves to Jesus, the mark of true repentance is that we change. You cannot continue to do the same thing that you have been doing before Jesus met you and just be coming every day and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me, prodigal son. How many times the prodigal son come and say, forgive me? Is it not once? So why do you want to be a prodigal son forever and be coming and say, God, oh, you're unprofitable servant. You know, please stop that. Okay? In the name of Jesus, can you say that with me? Say, in the name of Jesus, I declare I have changed from dead works. So the Bible says repentance from dead works and faith toward God. So the faith I'm talking about tonight is faith toward God. It's not the gift of the Spirit faith. It's not the fruit of the Spirit faith. It's not the natural faith. It's not even the saving faith. It's faith toward God. It's faith to be able to hold on to the Word of God and be able to make the Word of God to happen here on earth. It's faith to be able to make what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the will of God is fully done in heaven, but on earth here, the will of God is not fully done, and it takes a man of faith to bridge that will of heaven and the will on earth. It's the man of faith that will hold on to heaven and stay here on earth and make sure that that thing that is happening in heaven, you can replicate it here on earth, because God does not want what is in heaven, his will that is in heaven, to remain only in heaven. He wants his will that is in heaven to also be the will on earth here. But it takes a woman, it takes a man that will say, I believe God, I have faith toward God that what is in heaven will happen here on earth. Can I get amen to that? Because there are many people, their version in heaven is different from their version here on earth. Remember during the NICOS conference, the man of God told us that some people, the direction they are moving is not at they are moving in the right direction, but they are not moving at the rate they should move. They are not moving like the picture that heaven has over them. They are not moving at that pace. But by faith in God, God can make you bring heaven down on earth. God wants, that's his agenda. When Jesus came, Jesus brought heaven here. Because people will ask him things like this. Say, show us the Father. Jesus will say, show you the Father. And what they were trying to tell Jesus was, take us to the Father. Jesus said, no, you don't need to go to the Father. I have brought the Father to you. And sometimes they'll say, oh, we want to go to heaven. No. I have brought heaven here to you. I want you to make earth. I want you to superimpose heaven here on earth. And I believe some people listening to me tonight, they are those people who will superimpose heaven on their earth in the name of Jesus. Let me say some things tonight and I wrap up from here. What some of the things that I believe faith is not. Because if you've heard me say some things tonight, you may be confused and you may be thinking that faith is some of these things. Let me say this. Faith is not positive words of affirmation. Faith is not positive words of affirmation. Because there are many people online now that will say something like, just wake up in the morning, look at the mirror, and tell yourself, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Or just do it, just do it, just do it. That's not quite faith. They may be borrowing some of our principles, but faith does not derive on just speaking positive words. Faith derives on words, but it is not positive words per se. It's the word of God. Because we understand that by faith, the walls were framed by the words of God. Every time you want to frame, you still need the word of God. The word of God is the framer. The word of God is the molder. If you speak positive word that is void of the word of God, you are just making mental assent. Because mental assent is another word for natural faith. You are just agreeing with your mind. You are using your mind to work some things. But that's not what we are talking about here. We are talking about faith in God. Because it's faith toward God. Not faith in just words. Or just faith in what you say. So positive self-talk is not faith. No. Speaking the word of God is faith. That's why in the book of Romans chapter 10, it says, the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. The word of faith. The word is nigh thee. So it's the word of faith. It's not just any word. Another thing I want to say to you that faith is not baseless. Because you could have read Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. If you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast out into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, you shall have whatsoever you say. Oh, so tomorrow morning you go to the front of your house and then find a mountain and just want to talk anyhow. And then faith rest on the word of God. The basis of faith is the word of God. You can't use faith for anything. If the word of God does not cover it, faith doesn't cover that. So I can't go now and see my friend's car and say, by faith, I call you my car. I don't know that. Faith doesn't cover that, because sometimes you need to hear the prayer that children of God pray nowadays. You know, in the days of everybody is my enemy type prayer. You know, so there's this tendency to overextend yourself outside of the word of God. No. The basis of faith is the word of God. So faith draws on hope that's printed from the word of God or the living word of God to produce results. And lastly tonight, let me just say this. Faith does not deny facts. No, because if you have been hearing some of these things that we've been talking about, you may be thinking that faith, when it sees something, if faith sees white, it will say it's black. Because, you know, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. If faith sees something that is factual, faith does not believe, faith thinks that facts doesn't matter. No. What faith does is that faith introduces truth to facts. Truth is greater than facts because truth is a person. Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He says, I am the truth. He didn't say, I am a truth. So every truth, if it doesn't derive from me, it's not truth. He says, I am the life. So truth is a person. When you see facts, for example, if there is a fact on your body, there's a symptom on your body. It's a fact. It is true. Sometimes you need to do the logical things in the natural about that thing.
And it does not mean that you are not in faith. You will just now superimpose the truth of the word of God on it. Because some people, they have had issues, symptoms on their body, and instead of them to just walk into a hospital and talk to a doctor, they say the symptom is not there. They are denying that fact. No, that's not what you needed to do. You can talk to a doctor. You can introduce the truth on a fact without denying it. You can talk to a doctor, and while you are talking to the doctor, you are talking to the doctor of the doctor, and you are now imposing the truth of the word of God upon what the doctor would do, so that whatever the doctor does or not do, the truth of the word of God would take care of the situation. Can I get amen to that? Because so many people have killed themselves like that. Oh, no, by faith, I believe that. And then you just ignore the fact. Somebody is supposed to be reading book. To be reading is doing academics. Then he says he's reading his Bible. You know, saying, I just need to read two chapters. Two chapters in my Bible. You can read your Bible and read your book. Can I get amen to that? You can go to class and still come to church. Is that not true? You don't have to say, oh, I'm not going to do that, because no. You are missing the point. The fact is the fact. Face the fact, and you have to live in the fact. But you can now superimpose on the fact the truth of the word of God. And that's where faith finds expression. I believe that in this season you do express for God in the name of Jesus. God will increase you more and more in Jesus' mighty name.